another influential work by a man named Nikolai Mikhailovsky, a book called What is Progress? That came out in 1870. Here it was a description of capitalist progress in Europe, and it tried to show that such progress, such as capitalism brought, was not good. It was in fact retrograde. The division of labor, characterized by a modern economy, meant that people lost touch with their whole being, with their selves, and real progress had to advance human self-realization. Capitalism, he argued, didn't do that. This particular message, in fact, was reinforced in 1872 by the publication in Russia, the first volume of Karl Marx's huge economic study, Capital, that was translated into Russian by two populists. What's interesting, though, is what impressed people about reading Marx, in fact, one might say, where they misunderstood him entirely, it wasn't Marx's arguments about how capitalism was necessary for progress, something Marx actually does argue in Capital and in other works. What really they liked about this book was how it showed suffering. It showed the suffering of workers. In other words, what really appealed to them was not the analytical message of Capital, but its moral message. People suffer in Western Europe because of capitalism. Now, you can probably see that none of these works are placing real emphasis on the thing that's said to traditionally have defined populism, a socialist society based on a peasant commune. Partly this is due to censorship. One couldn't explicitly make such an argument. But in fact, I think part of it is that these writings are revealing what is a deeper concern of populism, though this idea about socialism on the basis of the commune was certainly part of it. Not, in other words, the defense of the common people or championing of the commune, though this is certainly important. What really is, I think, at the heart of populism as you look at these writings and listen to populists at the time was something deeper, a somewhat familiar moral vision, even an obsession with creating a moral society, a just society. In fact, I would define populism first and foremost as a moral philosophy. And as you can see, the sort of attempt to wrap this in scientific terms, such as existed in the 1860s, was pretty much gone. Now, as I've said, more than earlier dissenting movements, the thing that also really distinguished the populists of the 1870s was that this was a philosophy that demanded action. There was, as I said, a moral duty of critical thinking individuals to act, especially in relationship to the common people to whom they owed a moral debt. So the populace began to do something new, to really go in large numbers among the common people of Russia. They began to organize libraries in villages and in urban areas for workers. They began to give lectures, to run various discussion circles, often attracting urban workers who were only peasants only a few years before, so they felt they were in touch with the countryside, even among those new workers in the cities. Typical curriculum, whether it was in the city or in those few cases where they went into the country, but few yet did, they taught, for example, natural science. This was important. Science would undermine religious faith by showing how the world worked. History was always a popular topic because, as they recognized, it's always possible to impose a nice political slant on the stories you tell about the past. They particularly like to tell about earlier rebellions in Russian history. Pugachev's rebellion and its heroism and its goals were a very important part of the lessons they taught in these schools. And of course, writings by socialists, European socialists, Russian socialists, Belinsky, Herzen, others. In 1874, this movement reached a new stage, an unprecedented stage. In the late spring and summer of 1874, thousands of young people left the cities to, as they called it, go to the people. No one knows the exact total number of people who participated in this movement. We do know that 1,600 of them were arrested by summer's end, and this was only a minority. Many of them dressed as peasants or itinerant craftsmen, or one should say at least how they thought peasants or itinerant craftsmen dressed, which was generally rather badly, and they sought to contact peasants in absolutely any way they could. Many of them had never met a peasant before, or at best they were out there in the distance working on their family estates. The message they carried to the peasants was rather simple. All the land should belong to the people. The very same thing peasants called the black repartition. All the land distributed.